Today, sisters and brothers, is our last Sunday in the month of November. And you know that this month, our focus is on missions. And if I should ask you, what really, this is kind of like a Bible quiz. If I should ask you, those in the stream, I wonder if you can get it before us. What verse in the scripture would be called like the golden text of missions? I wonder if you would be able to tell me what would be the verse that most frequently and popularly is used to lift up missions. Well, maybe you could tell me what book it is in. It is in the book of Matthew, right? And it is chapter 28. Yes, 28. And it is verse... Come on. Somebody over here is too bright, you know. It is Matthew 28, verse 19. It says that we should go into... Okay, I know you know it. Go into all the world and teach all nations. And then we should do what? Baptize them. And do you know that we're going to have a baptismal service in the third service today? Of course, we're carrying out the Great Commission. We must baptize them. And come with me now. Baptize them in the name of the Father and... Oh, come on. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. Teaching them to observe all things. Yes, sisters and brothers, Matthew is a book about missions. That's right. And so we see that when you look at the divisions of Matthew, they say that you have five different discourses in the book of Matthew, five different discourses. And so when you look at these discourses, you learn some themes that Matthew has right there in the book. And I want to just highlight the five for you and to show you where missions fall. That indeed, missions is at the climax, at the end, at the crescendo of Matthew. But in addition to that, we see that missions is coming up in the book of Matthew. And so when you look at the discourses, you see the blessings entering the kingdom. Anybody know that there are blessings when you enter the kingdom of God? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And, you know, one person says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you, like our council that came up here to raise the offering. It will surprise you what the Lord, that's right. Blessings entering the kingdom. The third one, I skipped the second one, is parables of the kingdom. And you know the various parables that Jesus gave in the book of Matthew. And then the third discourse would be community, the discourse on community. And the fifth, that was the fourth, and the fifth would be woes, coming of the kingdom. All those judgments that will come when the kingdom of God would be fully realized. But the second discourse, which we see from chapter 9, verse 36, going into chapter 10, is a discourse on missions. Yes, from chapter 9, Jesus was talking about missions, and he ends that with the culmination of the entire book in chapter 28. Missions is central to Matthew, and missions is also central to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew begins his discourse on missions in chapter 9. He goes over in chapter 10. But it is interesting to see how he begins the discourse. He begins the discourse in verse 36 of chapter 9. And then right up there in the beginning of the conversation, he says in verse 38, and I read from the King James Version, it says, pray ye therefore. Somebody say, pray ye therefore. Oh, come on, come on. If you're online, I want you to type "pray ye therefore" right in the chat right now. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So for me, as Jesus begins his conversation about harvest, he now begins with the word prayer. Yeah. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Oh, yes, my friends. I think of this when I think of the song that I learned when I started the band that I was in. And it says, see the fields, ripe and white as snow, written by the Imperials. Up from the seeds of faith we planted long ago. So many the hearts in season, with every prayer they've grown. You have made them ready, but we must bring them home. So the chorus goes into prayer mode. And the writer therefore says, Lord of the harvest, place your fire in me. And then he says, servant you need now, servant I will be. Give me the eyes of your spirit, your heart of compassion to know. Lord of the harvest, show me where to go. Indeed, that is what God has called us to do, to pray for the harvest. The action required when the harvest is greater than the workers is prayer. Yes, my friends, God is not looking for preaching. God is not looking for pastoring. God is not looking for a prophetic word. God is not looking for praise and worship. God is looking for prayer. At the center of missions is prayer. Yes, we need to raise the purse to go into Barbados and into St. Vincent, which our young people are going to be going to, hopefully very shortly. But at the end of the day, it is not a purse, but it is prayer. Yes, pray ye therefore. Somebody just say that with me orally. Let's just say it together. Pray. That's right. Let us say it one more time. Pray ye therefore. Yes, this is the first and the only time that this Greek word for prayer is used in the book of Matthew. No other place in the book of Matthew is this word prayer in the form in which it was stated in the Greek was used. It may have been used and was used in other times in the New Testament, but Matthew reserved this special word of prayer just for this occasion. One writer sought to expand the meaning of this word prayer and in the Greek. And it says that it is a strong want for oneself. It is a desire for oneself. That means that there is a sense of ownership for the harvest by the person who is praying. It is as if the process of recruitment belongs to you. Not only that you are owning the process, but also when I look at this text, it is saying that prayer must therefore be priority for you, and missions must be priority in your prayers. That when you are praying, your prayer must not just only encircle your own life. It mustn't encircle your children and your beautiful, wonderful spouse. Your prayer must not just be about your promotion at work and the business that you are starting. Your prayer must not only be for a nicer car and a bigger your house. Your prayer must not be about more money in the bank. The Bible is saying that when you pray, at the center of your prayer, at the core of your prayer must be, Lord, raise up young people, raise up young men, Lord, raise up a generation, a new army to declare your word, to proclaim your word. Yes, you must own it. Yes, it must be priority for you. Yes, you must say, God, the all other things of this world must go strangely dim, but give me souls, give me workers, give me missionaries, give me evangelists. Lord, I want some other things. But Lord, you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. So I'm praying for more souls. I am praying for more missionaries. Lord, you said that you will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. So I take my eyes off my concerns and I put it on your kingdom. Full up your kingdom, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Full up your kingdom. Send forth laborers into the harvest field. When last you pray for that? When last you pray about souls? When last you pray for help and support in your ministry? When last have you prayed that, Lord, cause us to see more persons get baptized? When last? Oh, Jesus is saying, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest. This is the only action, sisters and brothers, that is required of the disciple. Prayer is regarded as the only solution. All efforts must therefore be invested in prayer. All time must be committed to prayer. Your entire focus must be devoted to prayer for increase in the workforce. No other task is required in this recruitment process. There is only one solution to this problem. The wit of the disciples was not required to establish another plan, a contingency plan, an alternative plan. No, there is only one way out, and the way is prayer. Yes, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out. That other word, send out, is a very important word from the Greek that we see when you do further study, as our sister Elsa encouraged us to do more research. And so if you do a little more research, after you finish Deuteronomy research, you will see that send out, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out more laborers. It implies the identification of workers with an enthusiastic impulse. That's what send out means. The identification of workers with an enthusiastic impulse. If one is called by God, therefore, to be a part of the laborers, there has to be a great enthusiasm. God doesn't want workers who are fenke fenke. F-E-N. F-E-N-K-Fenk-E. God doesn't want fenke-fenke laborers. If one is called by God to be a laborer, there must be a passion. We are called to carry the great commission. No one is called, however, to be casual about it. No, sir. No one is called to be normal and regular about it. If you're going to be a worker in the kingdom of God, you must be a worker of enthusiasm. You must be a worker of passion. You must be a worker who is ignited. You must be a worker that is on fire. Oh, come on. If you're in a marriage relationship and you just, every time you see your spouse, you just say, hey, how you do?
It can't work.
If you just said, darling, well, go on now.
No, sir. It can't work. If you just say, when birthday come, happy birthday. Anything can go, sir. Come on, church. Oh, now go on like you don't know about the romantic. Come on, Abigail. What do you have to say about that? Talk to me now, man. Talk to me. If you are in a love relationship, can your anniversary come? And you just say, happy anniversary. No, sir. Oh, come on. Not even Pastor Michael. You need a webinar from Pastor Michael. He needs to teach you about that. Oh, God, when it is anniversary time. How much you gone already? About one? Praise God. Two. Pastor Michael, he might have said, Moy. I know Moy, she named me now Moya. But you have to just make up a little name. And you just say, Moy, I love you. My heart is burning up for you. Oh, Moy, my heart a turn over for you. Moy. Oh, come on, man. Don't let me have to teach you this thing around missions time. You have to have the passion. You have to be ignited. You have to be excited. You have to, sometimes you have to jump up and say, boy, come on, because something is going on the inside. Well, if you love your God, if you want to see souls saved, you have to get a fire. You have to be ignited. You have to have the passion. You have to have the go. The drive must be there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Somebody needs to say, give me souls, God. Fire me up, God. Light up my heart so that men may be saved. Hallelujah. Somebody just shout a hallelujah. Oh God, if you're in the chat, just shout something in the chat online right now, because somebody needs to get excited. The woman of Samaria, when she went to the well and she met Jesus, and Jesus told her everything about her life, the Bible says she dropped water pot. Lord, dash where water pot, fling where water pot, run back into Samaria. And looked at the men and said, come. Woo! She was so excited that the men followed her. And when they heard Jesus speak to them about salvation, the Bible said that they believed on him because of the woman. Because of the woman. Because of the woman. Lord have mercy. Somebody now just get excited for Jesus, no? Come to church and we're cool. Lord, nobody can even lift up a little hand for Jesus. Yet still when you go football match, oh God, you shout and go on. Aye, you can't just open your mouth for Jesus. Yet still when you go to Caymanas, not Caymanas. Wrong example. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus. Not Caymanas. Tell me something, no man. Tell me something, no man. National Stadium. Yet still, when we go on National Stadium, we go on bad for a little Premier League side. But I wish somebody, soul, the songwriter said, would have catch a fire. Oh, catch a fire. Catch a fire. Any fireman in here today? Any fireman in here? Burn up some fire for Jesus and get a fire in your soul. Aye. Somebody said he's all over me and he's, come on, keeping me alive. Come on, somebody. Hey, somebody. Somebody give God a shout in the house. Whoa. I am feeling good in Jesus. I don't know about you, but when you come to church, you must feel nice in your God. Hallelujah. You must find one little space where you can say, Jesus, I love you. I know thou art mine. Come on. You can't find a space. You don't find a space yet. Up to now, you don't find a space. Come on. Find a praise right now. I give you 10 seconds right now to find a space to get excited, to get enthusiastic. Lift up your voice. Open the gates. Let the King of Glory come in. Come on, somebody. Oh, God. Worship time. Exaltation time. Somebody. Oh, God. It says, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph.
Hallelujah. Whoa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See him, so. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hey, anybody want to give Jesus a sound? Just give him a sound. Any sound. It don't have to be an English sound. It can be woo! Hey, it can be hoy, 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 hoy. Aye, 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 aye. Come on, somebody. Give God a sound. If you're madly in love with your God, give him a sound. If you're in the chat right now, give him a sound. Whatever sound it is, make a sound. Whenever there was victory, whenever the enemy was defeated, there was a sound. Oh, we have a victory today. We are conquerors. We are more than victorious. Somebody, give a sound. See him so. See him so. See him so, me I tell ya. See him so. See him so. Boy. Aye. In an age of individualism, one would expect a call from our God to be more vigorous and effective action by ourselves. Yes, that would be a more appropriate call in this postmodern era. After all, this is the do-it-yourself age and culture where you create technologies and methodologies to get the job done all by yourself. This is the age where you go out and get all the tools you need to do the job by yourself. The temptation is to get bigger tractors for harvesting, a bigger truck for carrying in the crops, bigger machinery for picking, conveyor belts to move the crops from one point to another, greater mechanization, more automation, smarter robotics, smoother instrumentation. All of these, just more contraption to avoid engaging more laborers. Modern farmers will tell you, give me more mechanization on my farm so that I can reduce the labor content. But in this work, there is no substitute for laborers. Systems cannot replace laborers, Pastor. Design techniques cannot eliminate laborers. It takes laborers and more laborers and more laborers to get the job done. More hands, more feet, more bodies, more boots on the ground. So we say, Lord of the harvest, place your fire in me. Servant, you need now. Servant, I will be. Give me the eyes of your spirit, your heart and compassion to know. Lord of the harvest, Lord of the harvest, I will go.